Microsoft's Xbox Series X gameplay reveal didn't have that much user-controlled gameplay this week. Plus, there's a wall of burnout in Animal Crossing, and I just smacked into it. Tonight is May 10th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hi there. How are you doing right now on this middle of May, where we had a cold snap and freeze warnings? Hello, everybody, and welcome to a warm edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us here on this Earthbound Day, is what I'll call it. Happy Earthbound Day to everybody out there here on this May the 10th. Welcome. If you want to join us live, we tape this show every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I try to read intelligent comments from the chat room throughout the night. But during the week, if you want, you can comment on the episode over at VogNetwork.com when this podcast episode goes up, or in our Discord, VogNetwork.com/Discord. And we can talk about some stuff during the week. Not everything that we talk about in the Discord makes it to the show. Not everything we talk about on the show makes it to the Discord. It is totally everything's own thing, everybody's own thing. So thank you so much for joining me whenever you're joining me and wherever you're joining me here tonight. I really do appreciate it. One of the things that we do have is comments from previous episodes, and E3VL posts them on our VogNetwork.com webpage. Every time a new episode comes up, he gives some of his thoughts, gives us some time to look back at some of the topics on previous episodes. So I greatly do appreciate it. And he first talks about The Last of Us 2 Part 2 leak that we talked about last week. We're not going to actually talk about what's in it. We're not going to give any spoilers. I haven't seen it, and even if I did, I have no context because I didn't play the first game. But he said, The Last of Us Part 2 leak reminds me of the script leak of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Both followed similar events and damage control. Like Star Wars, he doesn't think that the leaks would greatly impact the sales. If sales were not projected by Sony, I would think it's more due to the virus theme in relation to everything going on. I'm waving my hands like everything. You know what I'm talking about. And people not able to spend as much on video games, increase in unemployment and less disposable income and stuff like that. He says also that he personally did not read the spoilers for Last of Us Part 2. If similar to the last game, it's story heavy and leaked footage may be taken out of context. And then he continues about we had a caller last week. You can call in through our Discord. We actually can take calls like an AM radio talk show, which is what this was styled after, talking about Evo and how Evo's been canceled, but they're looking into still doing an online event and how that would be a really bad idea. He says, because our caller said it would be a really bad idea, he says, yeah, I have to agree. Online fighting game tournaments are not a great idea. Netcode for most fighting games are far from perfect, and even if they are, internet connection speed may differ between users. Then there's the fact that the hardware software checks for cheating are hard to regulate. So all very good points, and I am sure that Evo's staff is taking all that into discussion and into consideration. But as I said last week, they would be remiss if they did not do their due diligence on what they can do in 2020 to help the Evo brand and stuff like that. So if that means an invitational charity tournament, then I'm all for that, especially because you've got traditional television networks really hurting for content right now. They're showing Korean baseball right now. Not right now. They show it at 2 in the morning on ESPN because they started playing baseball in Korea. So you can get all your bat flips and root for the team that's owned by a video game company. And yes, I know, like, the Seattle Mariners, I think Nintendo had a seat on the board. I don't know if they still do. But no, one of the teams in Korea is called the NC Dinos because they're owned by NCSoft, Lineage, City of Heroes, which is no longer around, Womp Womp, Guild Wars. So yeah, the NC Dinos, you can root for the game owned by a video game company on ESPN. So I can't fault Evo for looking through everything, looking at all avenues. So the first thing I want to talk about is more of kind of a personal story. There's really no news story attached to this, but it's something that happened for me this week, and it's going to happen to everybody at some point. And I might have hit it a little bit earlier than most people, but everybody's been playing Animal Crossing New Horizons for the past, you know, couple months or month and a half. And at some point in all the previous Animal Crossings, at some point I burn out. And I believe a lot of other people do, where they're like, I've done everything I can do. I've done everything I want to do. And I finally hit it. And SJ Rodomat in our chat says, Bobby hit the turnip wall. That's actually not it. I have 3 weeks in a row been able to sell turnips, buy turnips below 100 bells each, and sell them for over 600 bells each. So it's not that. I think it's the fact that I do have... I'm sitting on a whole bunch of bells. I know I'm not going to get to some of these things like the five-star island and stuff. And I'm like, so there's really no goal in my head anymore. And I think what started it was one of my villagers moved out. And I wanted like one of the popular villagers. And I had 96,000 Nook Miles. So if you haven't played Animal Crossing, Nook Miles is this other currency that you can only earn by doing tasks. And one of the things you can do is for 2,000 of those miles, you can go to an island. And if you have an open plot of land, that island has a villager on it. And then you can invite that villager to that open plot of land. And you have one day to do this. And so I had an open plot. I was like, great. There's two villagers I'm looking for out of the 300-something that are in Animal Crossing. Two villagers, 96,000 Nook Miles, which basically comes out to like 48 attempts. 48 attempts to get one of the two villagers I wanted, which are like the two top villagers everybody wants. So this is the only way I can get it without giving away my soul to somebody on eBay. I don't know. So 48 attempts. Fifth Dream Today says, or you can spend $20 and make 11 villager amiibos. I don't know if there were no amiibo cards for these villagers I'm looking for. So I believe that's only, unless like there's some part of it I don't know. But these villagers I'm looking for do not have amiibo cards. So you can't spoof an NFC thing that reads like an amiibo. I do know exactly what Fifth Dream Today is talking about. Because I looked into it a little bit to see if I could get Epona. The amiibo Epona for Breath of the Wild. And I didn't do it. But I'm pretty sure it has to have existed before you can make it. Picture Today says there are 400 cards. How many villagers are there? I think there's like 430-something. 48 attempts, and I didn't get either villager in that attempt. And then like somebody moved in, some weird person moved in from somebody else's island who they evicted. So that kind of was a burnout. Because, like, going to 48 islands only to keep not finding the people I wanted kind of started with it. And then after that point, I was like, you know, I almost forgot to log into Animal Crossing today. And I'm not so sad about that. And then, like, I did finally log in yesterday to do, like, some of the dailies. But, like, I didn't do all of them. Like, I didn't hit all my rocks. And then today, it's like, oh, I forgot to buy turnips this morning. Oh, darn. And, you know, I may log in during OLR just to, you know, do some dailies and stuff. My birthday is this coming week, so I probably should log in to get my birthday gift and the birthday party and the birthday song. But I'm like, other than that, it's like, yeah, I don't really think I need to go in every day anymore. And it's going to happen to everybody. It's just happened to me in the first month and a half, where other people can usually do this it takes several months. I know my wife is like, she just got rejuvenated recently. She got in an Animal Crossing group, different from the one I'm in, and did a cataloging party, and she's got a 5-star island, and she's got like 250 hours. I checked. I've got like over 120 hours in it, which is insane for me to play a video game for longer than 120 hours in these times, when I'm this older and more responsibilities and work and stuff. And she's like, oh, I'm ready. I've got I'm just getting started. And I'm like, I've done everything I want to do. Questbuster says, I felt the same with Destiny 2. Checked out the new winter event, hated the Eververse, then asked myself why I was grinding a game that I don't feel very rewarded by, and then stopped playing it. Rob Roberts says, this isn't that different from a pattern I often go through with MMOs. Why am I logging in again? Oh, I didn't get this thing this week. F it. And I think it's the first one. Once I miss the first day, then the other days I'm like, okay, well, now there's no consecutive streak. Like, I was also the same way with Phantasy Star Online 2 when the open beta started. I was, like, logging in every day. And then, like, I missed a day or two, and I'm like, oh, it's really not all that bad. I didn't really need to log in every day. Questbuster also says, I feel the same with MMOs. I did the story, have some gear, okay, do some of the economy so I don't feel like I need anything, but I do really want to grind more. Every time there's an update or play a new experience, I usually opt to play a new experience. And Fifth Dream Today says, that's good, though. It sucks to be owned by feeling obligated to play every single day for an hour if you don't feel like it. And so I think I finally hit that wall. I think I finally hit that wall where it's like, once I can miss a day and I'm not going to feel bad anymore. And ActDev says, the cool thing about Animal Crossing is that no matter how much time has passed, you can always go back and play like nothing ever happened. And Questbuster says, there's zero shame in leaving a game behind. Maybe you just might need a break. And, I mean, the nice thing about Animal Crossing is that they are doing actual updates. And, it's not like I time traveled and experienced everything in the game. I totally didn't. Because a lot of the stuff's not there yet. You can't access. Even if you time travel to the next event, you can't access it until it says you can access it. So, it'll probably turn into one of those, oh, I should check that out and see what happens. And apparently, as long as you don't, as you log in once a month, you won't get bugs in your house, I think is what it is. Questbuster says, on what Bobby is saying about events, it's how I felt with the Division 1 a while back. There were global events that changed up how to pew-pew bad guys and offered cosmetics, and that pulled me back. I had to get some shiny pants. So there's no shame in saying you're done with Animal Crossing. There's no shame in taking your Switch. There's no shame in if, especially if you're like me and you have the cartridge and you're like, you know what, I'm going to put Super Mario Maker 2 in, or I'm going to put a completely different game in, or maybe you've got like a Final Fantasy game that's not remade, that's just a remaster or something, and you want to play that. There's no shame in taking the Animal Crossing cartridge out, putting it aside, and putting a different cartridge in your Switch. I realize I'm kind of weird having the actual cartridge when I could have just bought it digital, but I'm weird. Tire Claw says, during the quarantine that we're all going through, I could have used all that time to play video games, but I never felt the urge. We have learned that time is not the reason most of us did not exercise more. Like, that wasn't the reason we never did a whole bunch of cleaning in the house. So it wasn't time. That definitely wasn't it. But this is also this is all like mentally trying time for a whole lot of people. So I'm not going to fault anybody for not using any extra time that they had doing stuff that they probably should, and instead spending it in video games or doing other things. I know I haven't kept up on my side projects around the house. So let's talk about a recurring theme that we have talked about a couple times throughout the past couple weeks, looking at conventions and events and what's going on in that space right now. So I've talked recently about the idea of force majeure is the actual term for it, but it's essentially the clause that can be invoked by events with their insurance and with their venues to not have to lose all their deposits on anything that they've put deposits down to hold something this year. And so it's why Dragon Con hasn't canceled yet, is because they can't, because they do not have force majeure yet. Most insurance, event insurance, does not cover pandemics. So you can't just say there was a global pandemic, I couldn't run my event. They're like, well, you could have. You chose not to, and we don't cover that. But they can cover, the government says you can't operate. And Dragon Con specifically, which takes place in September, so it's like 4 months away, anything can happen, both good and bad. And it could have – and one thing happened that could help in their argument. Unfortunately, it doesn't do enough, which is why I'm not saying that Dragon Con's been canceled just yet. But CBS 46 here in Atlanta reports that some of Atlanta's large-scale events could be in jeopardy depending on what happens with the current pandemic. The Atlanta City Council voted Tuesday night to extend Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms' executive order regarding no new permits to be issued during the current outbreak. So these are event permits, things that are going to happen in the city that require city resources or take up city property. These are permits that are usually approved and have had no problem being approved. But right now, they're not approving any of them. The delays in permits may impact some of the city's most beloved events, including things like the Atlanta Pride Parade, Dragon Con Parade, and the Dogwood Festival and Music Midtown. So those last two take place at Piedmont Park, a big park in Atlanta, and the Atlanta Pride Parade and Dragon Con Parades actually take place on the streets. The ordinance states in parts, quote, "It is the desire of the Atlanta City Council that the moratorium on the acceptance of permits in accordance herewith, I love how they use some of that language in legalese, shall remain in effect until such time as the mayor shall issue an executive order in accordance with Section 2-182 of the City of Atlanta Code of Ordinances, referencing the authority giving pursuant to this ordinance and declaring that this ordinance, with the latest scientific and medical expert information regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, gatherings may occur in accordance with permits issued by the City of Atlanta in accordance with Chapter 142 and Chapter 10 of the City of Atlanta Code of Ordinances," unquote. I don't know how many more times they can say City of Atlanta Code of Ordinances. I'm sure they could have put it in two or three more times. I'm very disappointed in them. While the events are not canceled, the permit applications will not be issued while the moratorium is in effect. Per city ordinances, the special events permits will resume based on scientific medical information and guidelines as the pandemic is monitored. So the organizers are basically in a wait and see as dates get closer to see if conditions change. So S. Jared Matt says, so the TLDR version is Dragon Con likely won't get the permit for the cosplay parade, which is more than just a cosplay parade, but that's what a lot of people see it as. And the parade easily brings like 100,000 people down to the streets. And it takes up, I think, like a mile and a half of Peachtree Road, or Peachtree Street, I think is what it is. There's so many Peachtrees. But there's a Peachtree Street there. And it takes up that area on the Saturday morning. A lot of people come in just to go to the parade. They don't go into Dragon Con and they don't go into the hotels. They're actually not allowed in the hotels. There's security. So it's a big event, and it's over Labor Day weekend. That same day, there's football games, college football kickoff games are going on. The Atlanta Black Gay Pride Parade is the same weekend at a different part of Atlanta. So there's a lot of events going on that weekend that are all haven't canceled yet, but this could put them in jeopardy. This does not pertain to the convention itself because those are contained inside. However, what it might hinder is the fact that they do use Atlanta police for traffic congestion, pedestrian traffic, because even though Dragon Con takes place in five hotels, not all of them are linked by sky bridges. So they do have police at some of the crosswalks during heavy times of the convention, usually on Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and they may not be able to do that, which could possibly make it so Dragon Con couldn't operate, but I can tell you that the hotels are going to be hanging on to Dragon Con as much as they can, and they are not going to let Dragon Con leave without keeping all their money. But I'm pretty sure that the Dragon Con organizers would still love to cancel. And they're just waiting for force majeure to come in so they can. But if they cancel now, you'll never see another Dragon Con again. Because they're going to have to... they're going to have to refund everybody, and they're not going to get the money. But they're not going to get a refund, but they have to refund everybody who bought memberships. And the hotels are not going to refund guests because they're going to want that money. That was a non-refundable deposit you put down. So it's going to be bad for a lot of people unless force majeure kicks in, and then everybody gets their money back. So it is not a profits over people thing. It's a we want Dragon Con 2021 to happen. And so we've got to wait out letting Dragon Con 2020 be canceled by the government. What's actually going to happen, though, is even if Dragon Con is canceled, you know as well as I do, there will be people traveling to Atlanta and there will still be cosplayers in the hotel lobbies because the hotels definitely aren't going to turn them away. They need that business. So even if Dragon Con officially is canceled, there will still be a Dragon Con in downtown Atlanta. It just will be people who already have the travel, can't get a refund on anything, so they're going to come down anyway, and they're just going to have a party, and they're going to go drink. It's going to be Lobby Con. Thank you, SJ Winter Matt. That's exactly what's going to happen. So that's my event update for now. As things go on, I will let you know, but it's really things can't really be canceled until about a month or two ahead of time. So July is when we will start seeing cancellation announcements of PAX as well, because PAX is the same weekend in Seattle, and they probably can't declare force majeure until July for their convention as well. So let's talk about some video games. Let's talk about Microsoft, because they had a big reveal of Xbox Series X gameplay. And it was supposed to be a big gameplay reveal. This is all third-party development. So this is not Halo. It's not Forza. They made that very clear. You're not going to see any first-party studios of any type of this. You're going to see that in July. But they had a reveal this past week. And it was it's the first one they've produced from home. Because everybody's working from home right now. And that means that timelines are skewed. And there was a lot of complaints out there, and some people are out there saying, I don't understand why people are complaining. And so I'm going to actually play for you a portion of this Inside Xbox, because it's kind of what I want to talk about, is there was a comment made in the Inside Xbox presentation. And if this comment had not been made, I don't think we'd be as upset as we are. So I am going to play this comment right here.
Next year. And because we read the interwebs, everything you see here will highlight the in-game experience, with actual gameplay captured in-engine to give you the best sense of what to expect when Xbox Series X launches later this year.
Okay, so had that line not been said, I don't think we would have had a problem. But because that line was said, everybody was expecting when they hear gameplay, people assume it actually means somebody's here with the controller playing the game. That is not what it means. And in fact, if I continue on through this, and I'm not going to play the audio from it anymore, but you know, there's something really interesting that happens, especially in the first trailer here. So they start a world premiere, and in the trailer, the first trailer, I think, is for A New Dirt. And if you look really closely down here, all the trailers had some variation of this language. Captured in engine, game and console in development, footage representative of expected Xbox Series X gameplay. And so all of the trailers had this language in it, which I know part of it's because the Xbox Series X hasn't been finalized yet, but the footage is representative of expected gameplay. Now, everything they were showing were cinematic cutscenes. Now, where they're not wrong is that it is technically, for all intents and purposes, what you'd see when you're playing the game. Because what they were showing were not pre-rendered cutscenes. It wasn't technically a target render, which is what we saw, if you remember, when the PlayStation 3 came out and there was that Killzone trailer that was a target render, and then Killzone didn't actually look like it. I think it was Killzone 3. I can't remember which game it actually was. But there was the target render, which looked amazing, and then the game finally came out years after the PS3 came out, and it didn't look anything like it. Because it was a target render, it looked like somebody was playing it, but it wasn't actually controlled. It was pre-rendered. And it was the Killzone 2 is the game. Killzone 2 PS3 reveal was so much like this. So everything that you see, everything that we're seeing in this is a, it's correct. It's going to be something you see in the gameplay. But it's not somebody actually playing the game. Because like they even say, coming up next, you know, world premiere of Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay. And they kept saying, the gameplay, we're going to show you the gameplay. And then it comes in, and it's not a pre-rendered game and console in development footage representative of expected Xbox Series X gameplay. So that's what they showed for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. They're like, we're going to have first time, you're going to get to see gameplay. And yes, this is all in-engine, real-time rendered cutscenes. But it's not like no humans actually playing the game. And that's the thing, is that marketing considers this is gameplay. They did not lie to you that this is considered what you would see when you're playing the game. This is what the game will look like. They're just not showing anything where the human is controlling the character. Polygon reports that reaction was mixed to Microsoft's Inside Xbox live stream that showed off some of the first Xbox Series X gameplay, with many viewers complaining about the lack of actual gameplay on display Thursday morning. The YouTube upload of that Inside Xbox episode has been downvoted over 23,000 times compared to the more than 18,000 thumbs up votes, and commenters vented frustration with what Microsoft and its partners showed. Xbox Games Marketing General Manager Aaron Greenberg responded to blowback about the Inside Xbox live stream, saying that Microsoft set some wrong expectations about what would be shown, and adding, that's on us. This week's Inside Xbox promised a first look at next-gen gameplay, but the 27-minute show offered very little of that. Some video previews of Xbox Series X games were labeled with stipulations that footage was representative of expected Xbox Series X gameplay or visual quality. In-engine previews of games like Madden NFL 21 compromised of just seconds of next-gen visuals. And for the big draw, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ubisoft offered what some viewers labeled as just another cinematic trailer. Except, unlike the last one, this wasn't pre-rendered. This is actually rendered in the engine in real time. Microsoft has heard that feedback loud and clear, according to Greenberg. He said, quote, had we not said anything and just shown May Inside Xbox show like we did last month, I suspect reactions might have been different. Clearly, we set some wrong expectations, and that's on us. We appreciate all the feedback and can assure you we will take it all in and learn as a team, unquote. And I agree. Like, had they not made that big statement of, we read the interwebs, we're going to show you gameplay, I wouldn't be as upset. Had this not happened,
next year. And because we read the interwebs, everything you see here will highlight the in-game experience, with actual gameplay captured in-engine to give you the best sense of what to expect when Xbox Series X launches later this year. So,
had they not said that, I think we would have been better with it. We would have been okay with it. So, other than that, I mean, the games look great. There's a lot of nightmare fuel in there, so I wasn't really looking forward to many of the games. There's a lot of, it's a lot of dark games that are being shown, other than like Dirt and Madden, which, I mean, Madden is so unrealistic. They had people in the stands, so I don't know what's going to go on there. But, you know, the games look great, and I'm sure that they're going to be a lot of fun, and they're going to be great. So I don't really begrudge that part. I think it is the expectations that were set. And basically, they didn't really deliver. Assassin's Creed Valhalla creative director Ashaf Ismail likewise took a conciliatory tone back to fan feedback on Twitter, saying, quote, "You rightfully expected to see more today. We have a long marketing campaign ahead of us. You'll see in-depth gameplay and a lot more info about the game. Thank you for your excitement and passion. Please be patient with us and be kind. It will be worth it," unquote. So the flip side of this is a lot of people, if it's a game you don't care about, because I've seen the opposite happen before, where Sony will show off a game and they'll be like, "And we're going to now do a game, you know, gameplay demo," and it's a 15-minute gameplay demo, and everybody's like, "Boring, give me something else." So it's one of the, like, we don't know what we want. We really don't know what we want, and I am okay, I guess, with doing a quick trailer that highlights the in-game. Like, I want to see the HUD, you know, I want to see all that, and I want to see it look like an actual person is playing it, because the Inside Xbox started with a trailer of a game that was like a first person, but it looked like a target render, because I'm like, you're not actually going to, that's not actually going to be what the game's going to look like when you're playing it, because this person knew exactly where to shoot, where to go next, boom, 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 like it was on a script. And that's not actually how the game is going to look when you play it. And that's why I felt it was a target render that we were looking at, was because it didn't seem like it was something that we would see, we would actually see when we were playing. I am not convinced that this is actually a human playing it. I would not be surprised if it's rendered in engine, but it's a pre-skip scripted and they just hit play. I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong about this and this actually be exactly how the game would look when somebody's streaming it on Twitch. That would be fantastic. I'm very skeptical. But if they can pull it off, that'd be awesome. S. Sherwin and Matt says, "I'm okay with waiting. The drip feeding of info is a little annoying, but I get it. This is their strategy." This is nothing different. The drip feeding of info is nothing different than we've had in the past. Bright Memory Infinite, which I guess I have heard that, yes, that was actually done in an engine, but I don't actually believe that a human was controlling that. I don't think they recorded it with someone with a controller in their hand controlling it. I think it was a scripted, you know, demo loop that was handcrafted for that trailer. And as Sharon Matt says, "Yes, I am skeptical that they are going to deliver on this." I'd love for that. There's so much good stuff that's going to be about the Xbox. Like, Xbox Game Pass is really going to be the bright spot. Kind of like when the Xbox 360 came out, I said Xbox Live Arcade is going to be the bright spot for this. And everybody's like, really? The thing that has Zuma on it? And I mean, it kickstarted digital downloads on the console was Xbox Live Arcade. And so I think Xbox Game Pass is really going to come into its own with the Xbox Series X. So there's a lot to be excited about, and there's a lot of games to be excited about from the Inside Xbox. So I don't want it to look like I'm, you know, taking a dump all over everything shown here, because what they showed, it's very exciting. But it's that Microsoft said, "We heard you and we're going to show you gameplay," and then they don't show us gameplay. And they're like, "Oh, we showed you gameplay. It was just the cutscene gameplay, wink, wink." They'll learn. I don't think Microsoft's going to make the same mistake twice. But I will say this. Microsoft typically tells you exactly what they're going to show, and then they show you, and that's what everybody hates about them. Because with the Xbox One, it was all, "We're going to show you TV, 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 sports, sports, TV, sports, TV, sports." And it was like, "Oh my gosh." And then they actually showed you TV, 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 sports, sports, TV, sports, sports. So at least they told us. And it's if you do presentations, if you actually do like presentations for school or for work, what they'll always tell you is that what you need to do is you need to tell people what you're going to tell them. Then you're going to tell them, and then you need to tell them what you just told them. And that's generally how you do like a public speaking presentation. And Microsoft told you what they were going to show you. Tell you, and then they didn't tell it to you. And then at the end, they're like, "Yeah, and we told you all that stuff." And we're like, No, you didn't. As Sharon and Matt says, "Maybe our opinions on this will age like a fine wine as well." In this case, I hope it does. Yes, I hope it does. I am still going to get an Xbox Series X on launch day if I can get it. I will still get a PlayStation 5 on launch day if I can get it. So I'm on board with both. I hope they both succeed, and I just hope Microsoft figures out the messaging a little bit better, and I think they will. I don't think they're going to make this same mistake again. They're going to say gameplay. If they say gameplay, they're going to have gameplay. And you know, in ready for that July stream with their first party, you know they're getting ready to do something where somebody's holding a controller and actually playing the game, and they're not doing this pre-rendered stuff. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we can take a call or two about anything going on in the gaming industry. Or if you have comments on the what Xbox did with Inside Xbox. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is Obi-Wan Jabroni, and I'm not beating up Jar Jar Binks. I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show right here on VogNetwork.com. And oh yeah, one more thing. Hogwash.
Lots of hogwash going on. Thank you so much, Obi-Wan Jabroni. If you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 of just your voice and to bumpers at bobbyblackwolf.com. Or if you want to do a video bumper, we can do those too. All you got to do is contact me on our Discord, vognetwork.com/discord. And we'll work on getting some stuff. Don't put music behind it. That would be that way I can add Twitch safe music. So I do want to mention that I am a proud member of the Georgia Influencers Network. There's a lot of great stuff going on during the week. I will say that I want to highlight one thing that's going on that might be of interest to some of our people. On YouTube, the Meta Studios, M-E-T-A Studios, they're based out of here in Atlanta, and they're live streaming a series of conversations with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles co-creator Kevin Eastman. So if you want to know all about the TMNT stuff, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, over on YouTube. I would give their URL, but it's one of those channel/UCNS, blah, 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 and I'm not going to do that. So Google, just search for Meta Studios, M-E-T-A Studios, and you will find information on that channel, and they are going to be doing live streams on Wednesday night to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and other things, because he's a top comic creator himself. So very proud to be part of the Georgia Influencers Network. And there's other streams all throughout the week from us, and I've talked about them on previous shows. And yes, you can go ahead and share the YouTube link in there. It's one I can't read on the podcast because they don't have their actual URL yet. I think they haven't hit the requirements for that yet. So that's why I can't read it on the show. So this is kind of the open roundtable portion, even though I talked a little bit. I'm going to see if anybody's in the green room. We actually had two people in the green room last week, and we only got to one, and then the other person's not watching tonight. But one of the things I did not talk about this week that was put in our in the text chat channel was about yet another fan-made port, unlicensed port, that came out. And it got taken down by Nintendo. And the thing is, I'm not surprised. So we're talking about there's a stealth release of a full on Super Mario 64 port for PC. Done, I believe it's in Unreal. It runs at DirectX at high resolution and just works. So, you know, I am not exactly sure why anybody's surprised that Nintendo would take it down, but It's very. I always find it interesting that people keep doing this, and then everybody's all surprised when Nintendo comes in and says, "No, you can't do this." And if you do a really good job on this, you can make your own game with your own IP and sell it. Especially if you're able to do a whole lot for this. You're able to do this really well. Make your own game and put it out there. It's going to be hard to find. Once it's on the internet, it's going to be on the internet. But I honestly am not sure. I don't really know. I mean, I get it. in some ways, but I don't know what people are thinking with doing this. Now, I will always tell people, when you learn a new language and you want to get into game development, your first project should actually be a clone of something else, and it should be a clone of something simple. I actually use a card game, and this card game I specifically use is Crazy Eights. And it's a very simple card game, but it's got – but I can even do AI. It has shuffling. It has multiple hands. It's got a deck and all that stuff. So that's actually how I learn animation and, you know, random number generation and stuff like that. And I can even use that to learn netcode, because then I can make it two-player. It's a really simple game, and I always use that. But I've also done Hangman before as my first game. I've done, you know, sometimes I've done a Breakout clone. Some people have done Tetris clones. And that's great, because then you can actually see something from beginning, middle, and end. But you're not necessarily going to release it. But it's a great learning experience. So then you can create make your own creation. And people who never do that, they usually, you know, say, oh, yeah, I started this, and then I kind of got stuck, and I stopped, and I've got grand plans, and it's going to be the next Grand Theft Auto and stuff like this. So I'm good with that, but, like, something like doing the entire Super Mario 64, like, at some point, you've gotten enough knowledge to be able to do great things on your own with your own IP, or do great things with a team of other people that can do their IP. And Questmaster says, stealth releasing it like this was likely why. They knew Nintendo would come down like a sack of bricks on the project. It's also allegedly based off the decompiled version of Mario 64. And SJ Matt says, Nintendo protects their IP. You can't slip one past them. And no, they will not be cool with it if you do it better than them. Because they still sell Super Mario 64 in some areas on the Wii U eShop for right now, before they close that down. So that was talked about in our Discord a little bit. Actually, YouTube videos are being targeted, so I'm not going to show you any gameplay of it, because I don't want them to come after me. But it was out there. It's not anymore. I don't have it. Tightclaw says, all we need is for Nintendo to do a remaster of Super Mario 64. There was rumors and speculation that they're doing that, or doing a remaster of Sunshine, or doing a remaster of Galaxy, or something like that. That's been rumored. There's rumors and speculations. It's plausible. Speaking of plausible, coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on there. So I am going to give them a call and see how things are going. It's plausible that OLR is up next. It's plausible that they're going to pick up. It's actually high on the scale of plausibility. And so we're going to check in with them. Sacramento, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. Guess what I did this weekend, Rob? Guess what?
Quit Animal Crossing.
Not yet. I have not quit Animal Crossing yet.
Okay.
I watched the credits of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, you beat Final Fantasy VII Remake. Congrats.
Yes. 40 hours was my time. I missed one music disc, apparently, in Chapter 14.
Yeah, I missed like two. It's very irritating.
I'm like, oh, do I want to go back just to get that one music disc for that one silver trophy? And I'm like, no, probably not. I know I missed a couple of like early things, like with Aerith. Like, I didn't do all the random battles with her or something, so... But the credits rolled. I liked it. Like, I know some people are hating where it goes. I like it. And so I look forward to having a spoiler-filled chat with you, Rob, at some point. Not right now.
Hooray. We need to schedule that then, now that you're through it, because I definitely want to sit down and chat about it. And obviously, we can't really talk about the details right now, but I hope you kind of understand like what I was saying before about it's complicated. I can't just blurt out a spoiler. It's yes. More layered than that.
Yes, and there is a different comparison to a different pop culture franchise that is way more apt to this, but saying it would be a spoiler. Yeah.
I get it. Totally get it. We'll talk about it later.
So, yeah, we'll talk about it later. But, yeah, so Battlestar Galactica, that's the one that I was saying earlier, and Brad from Pod Culture said it's kind of like the new Battlestar Galactica versus the old Battlestar Galactica. And we're going to stay with that one, even though there's a better one out there. But saying what the better one is would be a spoiler, and I don't want to do that. But, yes, I'm beating Gamer ADD. It helps that this game keeps me engrossed. Every time I played it for like 5 hours at a time. So it helped.
You have me lost in thought now of what the other comparison could be, but I think I know what it is. Like, I think, because when we said all those earlier comparisons, we hadn't beat the game yet. Yes. Now that I've beat the game, I'm kind of like, oh, there's one that comes to mind like that. And I'm like, oh, I think that's what it is. I'm going to have to text you.
Yeah, I'll text you when I'm not sharing that screen. I'll let you know what it
okay.
is.
I've like got my phone ready to text. All right, yeah. I'll text you later.
Yeah. We have a little bit. We have a couple seconds in between when I'm not sharing screen or anything. But okay. Yeah, but I like where they're going with it, and I like what it sets up for the future. And so I've seen so many people like, I'm not going to play it because it's only 1/5 of the game and the story. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not seeing that.
Mm-hmm. It's more complicated.
Yes.
Like anything Nomura touches, it's more complicated yes. than that. That should just be the go-to line whenever we're talking about one of his games. Kingdom Hearts is love. It's more complicated yes. than that.
It's about friendship. It's about friends.
It's more complicated than that.
Very more. But I will say this, like, I don't remember everything about Kingdom Hearts. I actually, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake actually does seem less complicated than Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, no, like, again, it's, again, like, I'm not trying to, but once you get to the end, like, if it hits you, like, what happened, you're kind of like, oh, get it? Like, you know, yeah. But, yeah.
You don't need a corkboard and string no. and stuff to figure things out like no. you do in Kingdom Hearts.
You don't need an 87-page Google Doc to explain no. a game made for 10-year-olds. No.
No. So, no, but I really did enjoy it. It was well worth my time. I'm glad that I played it now. And, yeah, easy mode was perfect for me because there was still some challenge in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I still had to be smart about it. It's not – it is definitely near the end. It is not hold square to win, which is what mm-hmm. some people probably think easy mode is. On it, but yeah, no, I thought it was really well made, and I am satisfied with it. So if you're on the fence, I am satisfied with Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I never beat the original, but I did get to disc 3, so I got farther than this point in the original game. So
all there was on disc 3 was the last dungeon and ending, really. So you were almost there.
Yeah, but I really wanted the Knights of the Round materia, and so I got burned out on chocobo farming, just like I get burned out on Animal Crossing, and so
I wasn't as tuned in to, I know this sounds weird since I've been doing the video game podcasting for so long, but, you know, just before all that started, when I was in college, I wasn't as tuned in to, you know, I might get a video game magazine here and there, but I wasn't as like loading up game FAQs and internet stuff just because everything was still dial up back then to see everything that I was missing. So like, I didn't even have Vincent when I beat Final Fantasy VII. I missed him.
Yeah.
I had Yuffie, but I didn't have Vincent. So I didn't even find out about that till like way later. I was like, oh, I completely missed a freaking character.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops. Oh, well.
But yeah, no, they did a great job. Now I can go back to Persona 5 Royal and see if I can get any further in that. Because like I played that for like 3 hours and then 7 Remake came out. So now I'll go back to Persona 5 and see if I can make it through that 100-hour monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can put 100 hours into a game, as Animal Crossing has shown. So I'm capable
congrats.
Of it.
I don't even think I'm quite at 100 hours yet. Maybe I need to look at my profile
close.
Again.
I think I looked close. And you're close, but you're not there. My wife's at like 230 hours. So she's
I think
like,
it was at like 90 hours.
Yeah.
Let me check that.
So yeah, 120 hours apparently was my limit for Animal Crossing. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care as much anymore. And I think more and more people are going to hit that pretty soon. I might have just been one of the first ones.
Yeah, it'll depend on the events and things like that, like what kind of things they try to put in there to keep people going. But kind of like I said earlier in chat, it's very similar to what happens, I think, a lot of times with MMOs. Like, you mm-hmm. hit a point where it's like, what am I logging in for right now? Or, like, you hit a dry spell, right? Like, even in Final Fantasy XIV, as much as I appreciate that game, it's like, I'm just not interested in high-end raiding. Like, I'm not interested in putting in the hours and the commitment to do that stuff. So, I mean, I will grind out the cap of tomes. You can get what, like, tomes for doing dungeons and stuff every week, and I will grind that out to a cap because they cap how much you can get because they don't want people, because they know people will stay up all night and day to get all the high-end gear. Otherwise, they cap it. And so I'll hit that cap, and it's kind of like, all right, well, I don't really have a lot else to do. Guess I'll go play something else.
Yeah.
So even with that game, and there's not going to be a patch on the horizon because we've heard that things have been pushed back a little bit due to my hand waving all of this. So, you know, there's just going to be a content lull, and I think that's going to run dry for me too. So yeah. who knows what I'll end up playing as a result.
Your backlog. You're going to play more Nier.
Or I'll keep downloading new games thanks to sales, yes. Which is what I did this week. We'll talk about that. There's a surprising one that I played, so we'll talk about it.
Yeah, see, I have Nier. I've downloaded Nier Automata, but I have not actually opened it yet. So that might be where I go next instead of Persona 5.
Yeah, give it a try. See what you think of the opening sequence. And try to, you know, try to approach it with the brain of, because I did this and it helped a lot, like, it's okay if I don't collect every little thing. Yeah. Like, I'm going to just do my best to progress the story. And yeah. I think you'll probably have much more fun with it.
I've tried to learn that recently. Like, that's how I got through Pokemon. Because I did beat, like, I'm actually beating games a lot this year. This is weird for me. But I beat Pokemon Sword. And I'm like, I didn't get every I didn't catch them all. I didn't try to catch them all.
Pokemon was a huge one, I think, with trying to get over that mental hurdle of I need to catch every single little thing. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that wide open wild area really helps because it's kind of like, all right, well, I always know I can just go back there and catch it. So let me get through the story and then I'll go collect everything because that wild area isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. So what else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Mortal Kombat's getting an expansion. So we'll talk a little bit, my favorite series. We'll talk a little bit about that because it's very interesting. Some of the contributors they're getting for that, which is pretty cool. Also, I didn't know game companies did this. Maybe you can think of something in recent history, but I can't. We have two companies this week that traded IPs. Yeah, speaking of Pokemon, it was like they traded a Pikachu for a Charizard or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they were IPs. So now you're going to have a franchise coming from one company that used to come from another company and vice versa. So I think that's kind of fascinating. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
But technically on that, it's because the original developers were owned by a new company. And that's why they flipped. That's the gimmick there. That's why they did it.
Yes. But, you know, it's still
fascinating. Yes, it's still fascinating.
And your favorite, Bobby, we're going to talk about rumors, but this particular one, like, I have it on good authority that it's true, and there's a lot of people I know that are in the know that, like, yep, this is happening.
All right. I will look in and roll my eyes when we talk about rumors and speculations, and you'll be like, no eye rolling.
Sounds good. Let me have this one, Bobby.
I will.
Or should I say three?
Uh-oh. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, where I will might talk about Nier Automata. I don't know. Questmaster says he really enjoyed it. So I may enjoy it. I don't know. We'll see. I probably will. I'm reading what I have about it. It's really fascinating, that game. And so I just never had a chance to play it. And now with Xbox Game Pass, I can. So Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Catch us live. Interact with the show directly. You can leave me a bumper in MP3 form or in video form without any music in the background. Email me at bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com or just join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, and contact me there. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch @BobbyBlackWolf. That's where I am during the week. And you can also submit feedback on the episode page over at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody. I get that. But it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the show work without the help of our chatters. So thank you so much, Pod Culture. Gifted a sub, so Obi-Wan Jabroni is now subbed again. Thank you so much for that gift. Zeba SA resubscribed. Thank you so much for the resubscription. We did get a new follow. Ninja Dietriest. has followed us tonight. And we also did get a couple follows during the week. So thank you to everybody who followed during the week. But those are the ones that were here during the show. We don't like to interrupt the show in the middle of the show to say those. But thank you so much for all that. And we just appreciate you being here. I am going to now play the outro music and go out and probably not play Animal Crossing for the first time since March 25th. So, but I will wash my hands, and you should too. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.